I'd like for you to join me in singing one more song where you're sitting right there, and I think it's one that most all of you will know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's probably one of the most well-known and beloved songs that's ever been written. It was written by a lady by the name of Anna Warner, first of all, as a poem. And there are only two civilian women who were buried at the cemetery at the United States Military Academy. And Anna Warner is one of those people. And her sister is the other one, her sister Susan. And the reason why they were honored in this way was because of their many years of teaching Sunday school to the West Point military cadets. On Sunday afternoons, they would make lemonade and ginger cookies, and the cadets would row across the river to Constitution Island, where the Warner sisters lived. And there they would hear teaching from the Word of God. And later on, as that poem meant so much and had gained so much attention and touched so many people's hearts, a man by the name of William Bradbury put it to music in 1862. And since then, it's been sung by people all over the world. And I don't think there's any greater reminder that we need every day to be reminded that Jesus really does love us. That's such a sweet, simple truth. And the reason why we need it so much is because the enemy is always going to try to be throwing his darts of doubt into our minds, especially as people who have come to Jesus weary and heavy laden and taken his yoke upon us. And we're going to get those fiery darts from the enemy that are always trying to say, but maybe there's something better off out there somewhere else. Now, Solomon once said, there's nothing new under the sun. And the fact is, it's the same old lie that he's been using since the dawn of creation, that God's holding out on you. He's got something better out there. He doesn't really love you. He just wants you to be his slave. And if you will just break free from that yoke of oppression and reach out and take that thing or that practice or whatever it is, then you'll really be happy. I don't know if you ever heard that voice before, but I sure have. Many, many times. Voice that says that you're no good, that it's hopeless, that ministry is worthless, that the dark is too dark, and your little light is never going to make any difference, so why don't you just give up? Or fill in the blank. And I've heard that for 30 years in my life in serving the Lord. And underneath it all is this lie that he sows underneath that is this lie that, you know, God doesn't really care about you that much. At best, he tolerates you. But he's out there and he's somewhere far away and he's cold and he's distant. And he doesn't really, really love you. He's not interested in you. As Jesus was about to go to the cross, he knew that his followers were going to hear that voice many times. As he was telling them and calling them to not just to serve him, but to suffer for his sake. He knew they were going to hear those voices. And after reminding them that he is the vine and that they are the branches and that without him we can do nothing, he then takes some time to tell them how much he really loves them, so that their joy would be full and so that they would abide and continue on in his love. And what I hope today will be just one more reminder that there is no better place for you to be than under the yoke of Jesus' love. In John 15 and verse 9, he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Jesus loves you. He wants you to understand how much he loves you and to continue in his love and to rejoice in his love. And he tells his followers right here, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And that presents us with a question right away. As you are observing a text in the Bible, you should start asking questions. And this brings us up a question. Okay, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So how much does God love Jesus? You know, we just sang that song, "Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so." But does the Bible say anything about how much God the Father loves his own Son? Well, actually, it says quite a bit, and we could spend a long time here. But I just want to show you three ways this morning how that we can see very clearly how much God loves his own Son. And one way is by what the Father said to him. What the Father said to him, and we can see this when Jesus was baptized, because it says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We see that God loved his Son, and he said so. And he said it out loud, in front of everyone. He said he was pleased with him. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And here, just let me say, if you are a father, this is just a side note for parenting 101. If you have children, you need to tell them that you love them. You need to tell them that you're pleased with them when they do well. And you need to say so out loud and in front of everyone. Take it from the example of the greatest father that there is. God the Father was pleased with what his adult son, his grown-up son, was doing, and he said so. And it's just so sad. I've talked to I don't know how many people who have said that all through their growing up years, their dad never once said that they loved them. But just, you cannot imagine the impact of when they finally heard that as adult children. So it's not too late, and that need is still ongoing to tell your kids that you love them, that you're pleased with them, even when they're adults. God was well pleased with his grown-up son and what he was doing, and he said so. But another place we can see how God the Father loved his son is by what he gave him. A little while after Jesus was baptized, some of John's disciples had, you know, had moved off, and there were not as many people who were following John. They were all crowding after Jesus and following him, and apparently some of John's disciples and his friends were bothered by that. But this was the answer that he gave them: "The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand." It didn't bother John at all, because he knew this was the whole reason why he had come, was to be the forerunner for Jesus. And so he said, "As the Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand." And one way you can tell how that a person is loved is by what they're given. You can see that somebody loves somebody by what they give them. How many of you all have a diamond engagement ring on your hand right now? I want you to hold that up. Hold it up high so everybody can see it. Anybody get something really nice for Christmas? Nobody? Oh my goodness. What a bummer. I dare say some of you probably did. But why do people, why did somebody give you that engagement ring? Why did somebody get you something nice for Christmas? It's because they love you. We give things to people that we love. And here we can see that God demonstrated his love for his son by giving him something. And you know what he gave him? He gave him people. People who would follow him, who would listen to him, and who would obey his word. And you know, later on, Jesus said, in fact, he said this, "The hour has come, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all you have given him." Did you ever think about the fact, if you are a born-again child of God, that you are one of God's gifts to Jesus? If you're having a bad day, think about that one a little while, and it might bring some of that joy back into your life that our brother was just talking about just now. God the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand, and we can see how the Father loves the Son through what he has given him. And a third way we can see it, there's that verse that was mentioned a moment ago, the third way we can see how God the Father loved his Son is through what he showed him. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing." And once again, this is a place where we could spend a lot of time digging into this because there's some really deep theological truth in here. But basically, to keep it simple, what it means is all the good that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, and all of the good things that he said, the wonderful things that he taught, the miracles that he did, everything he did was because it was what his heavenly Father had shown him to do. A father who loves his son shows him how to do things. My dad showed me how to drive a car. He showed me how to be a good husband by the way that he treated my mother. He also showed me how to dig post holes and put up fence, which we did for hours and hours during the summertime. But he taught me a lot of things. But a father who loves his son and wants him to do well will show him everything he knows so that he can do that. And this is heavy, and we have to stretch our minds a little bit, a lot, to understand this. But even though Jesus is God, when he was here on earth, he came as a fully human man. And in order to become, as the book of Hebrews says, a merciful and faithful high priest, he had to learn from his heavenly Father. Just like he had to learn from his mom and his dad how to walk and how to talk and do those kind of things. And in fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And that's heavy. That's heavy. It blows your mind to think about this, that mystery of what we call the incarnation. But we see that God showed how he loved his son through what he showed him. The Father loves the son and shows him everything he's doing. And so he showed his son that he loved him by what he said to him. He showed his son how he loved him by what he gave to him. And he demonstrated his love for his son by what he showed him and what he showed him how to do. And here is Jesus saying, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And so how has Jesus done these same things for us? Well, first of all, Jesus loves us enough to say so. And he does right here. He tells us that he loves us. That he loves us as much as his Father loves him. And he tells us in many other places as well. But you know what else? He loves us enough to say so out loud and in front of everybody. Because you know what it says in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9? Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." That means he will say your name out loud in heaven for all the angels of God to hear that you belong to him. A couple of weeks ago, we had some children in our church get baptized. They had been thinking about it for a year and talking things over with their parents, and they came and they did a video testimony there, you know, there on the screen. But they came there and they stood before the congregation in that water, and they said to everyone that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And they believed in him, and they trust the fact that he died on the cross for their sins and he rose again from the dead, and they're committing to follow him all their days for the rest of their life. And you know what was going on in heaven right then? Jesus was saying to all the angels of heaven, "That little boy colt, he's mine. That little girl Allie, she's mine. They're not ashamed of me, and I'm not ashamed of them, and I claim them for my very own." And he claims you for his very own, and he says your name out loud because you've received him by faith. And then we see how Jesus loves us by what he's given to us. As we see what he says in John 17, 20 to 21. Remember how I said a minute ago that if you have received him, then you are one of God's gifts to Jesus. He talks about this in this chapter that they call the great high priestly prayer as he's getting ready to go to the cross. And listen to what he says. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." And Jesus, of course, has given us many things. He's given us eternal life, which he said is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. But he's also given us this share. He said, "The glory which you gave me, I have given them." And right now we share the glory of God, the very presence of God inside of us through his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. I mean, doesn't that just blow your mind? To think that Almighty God, when you walk out here and you see the mountains and the trees and the sky and the sun and the rivers and the one who created that all, and his Spirit lives inside of you. And he shared that glory with us. And one day we're going to behold his glory, because he goes on and he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." You ever feel left out? Ever feel like you don't really belong? Or that you've been excluded from this circle of friends or that circle of friends, and that you just don't really fit? Well, Jesus says, "You fit with me. You belong to me. I want you with me. In fact, I want you with me for all eternity. And that's why I went to the cross to pay for your sin on the cross and rose from the dead so that you could have a new life and live with me forever." He wants you with him. We see how he loves us by what he said to us, by what he gave us, and just as his Father is sharing all things with his Son is sharing all things with us. And third, just as God demonstrated his love for his Son through what he showed him, Jesus also shows his love for us in the same way. Because listen to this, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. And just as the Father showed his love for the Son by showing him all things, Jesus has shown his love for us by showing us everything that the Father showed him. And he calls us his friends. I can remember as a young teenager, after going to Bible camp and recommitting my life to the Lord, and I came home and I began to get serious about really seeking to honor the Lord with my life, began digging into and devouring the scriptures. In fact, there was the first 2 weeks I was scared to death I was going to go back to the way I was. And I purposed in my heart I wasn't going to read anything but the Bible for 2 weeks. I didn't watch TV for 2 weeks. I just wanted to immerse myself in the Word of God. And I began to tell my friends about Jesus at school. And I began to get active in church and just any way that I could just to be involved. And around that time it came out that the pastor of the church that I had been attending at the time had been involved in adultery with a woman in the congregation, maybe more than one. Long story short, it was an agonizing time and the church split. And for 2 or 3 years, I was the only teenager in our church, going to a public school and seeking to walk with the Lord. Those were some really lonely times. But I can still remember reading these words for the first time through a film of tears as Jesus said that he called me his friend. He called me his friend. The Son of God called me his friend. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He wants us to understand how much he loves us. And the reason he wants us to understand how much he loves us is so that we will trust his love and remain in his love and continue in his love. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide or continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that word abide means to remain or to stay or to continue. And if you have children of your own and you take them out to the playground to play and you say, I want you to stay on the playground. That is where you want them to abide. That is where you want them to remain. It's where you want them to continue because you have picked out this place of safety for them. This place where you know that they will be well and happy and things will go good for them. And so you want them to stay there. And that's where you want them to be. And well, here Jesus is telling us that we stay or we remain where he wants us to be by keeping his commandments. Just as he kept his Father's commandments and remained or abided in his love. And Jesus always did what his Father wanted him to do. And he said, he that sent me has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I remember when I was a teenager writing that in my Bible. Boy, I wish. Now, I always do those things that please him. Jesus never once disobeyed his Father. He knew his Father loved him, and we saw that he knew his Father loved him before the foundation of the world. And so he always did what his Father wanted him to do. And as he was obeying all his Father had told him to do, he was abiding in his love. You with me so far? And this is what he tells us to do now, to do the same as he did. So just think back to that playground a minute ago. If you're the kid and your parents tell you to stay there on the playground, why would you do that? Well, there are maybe a couple of reasons. One is that you do not want to face the consequences of disobeying your parents if you leave the playground. You will be disciplined. You will get a spanking. You will have a timeout or have your television privileges taken away or whatever else. You do this to avoid being disciplined. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes we need that. But truth be told, there are sometimes that's the reason why we obey the Lord, isn't it? We don't want to disobey the Lord because we don't want to face the consequences of what may happen to us if we do. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, the Word of God tells us that part of the way that we know that we belong to Him is when He does discipline us, because He loves us. And so He corrects us, and sometimes we need His discipline to teach us to obey. However, when Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Do you think that Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father because he was afraid of being punished? If he didn't? I don't think that's the reason why. Because the fact is, Jesus never sinned by disobeying his Father. And for myself personally, I do not believe he was capable of sinning. What the doctrine we call the peccability or the impeccability of Jesus Christ. And so why did Jesus obey his Father? He obeyed his Father because he was abiding in his love. I'm a parent of three children, and they're all grown. And I was pleased when my children obeyed me because they didn't want to be disciplined. And when they're little, that's about all you can do. That's where it starts. And I was pleased when they were obedient because they did not want to be disciplined. But you know what was even better? It was when they began to obey because they knew that we loved them. It was when they began to listen to mom and dad because they realized, you know, mom and dad love us, and they really do have our best interests at heart. And so let's just do what they tell us to do. And when that started to happen, they knew they began to trust our love and what we had chosen for them at that particular time, that what we had picked for them was the very best place for them to be. And when they did that, they were abiding in our love. And that is how Jesus is telling us he wants us to obey the Father and how to obey him. He wants us to know how much he loves us so that we will trust him and know that whatever he tells us to do or not to do is not because he wants to hurt us or because he wants us to take something good away from us, but because he loves us. Because the thief, remember, Jesus said, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But why did Jesus come? He said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And my friends, please believe me, Jesus does not want to take your life away. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give you the greatest life that you can have, that God had planned for you from eternity past. And the only way you will find that, the only way you will know that, is by obeying him day by day and abiding in his love as he obeyed his Father and abided in his love. And when you are obeying his commandments, not just out of fear, but out of trust in his love, that's where the joy comes in. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And when we're doing what Jesus said because we know he loves us and we know that he wants the best for us, it brings us joy. And our joy can be full. And sometimes we want things that Jesus doesn't want us to have. Sometimes we want to do things that he doesn't want us to do. And when he says no, it's not because he doesn't love us. When he takes something away that we really wanted to keep, It's not that he doesn't care about us. When he denies us a position or something that we really thought we wanted to have, it's not that he doesn't want to give us the very best. Because you know what the scripture says? He says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Just let me close with a little example here. I know I'm running close here, but I just want to share this. When I was 6 years old, my mom and dad made me work. When I was six, my mom would make me make my bed before I went to school. When I was 10, I had to do the dishes. And when I was in the sixth grade, my dad brought home this big load of concrete blocks and he dumped them in the yard. And he said, I want you to carry these out into the field. And it was big load. And it means from now on, you're going to have to, every day after school, I want you to carry these blocks out there. And there were a lot of times I didn't want to do that. I get out there every day after school. I don't remember if it was an hour or a half hour. He said, yeah, I want you to carry those blocks. And so I'd be up there, pick up those concrete blocks and lug them out into the field. And I didn't like it. I wanted to watch TV. I wanted to shoot hoops. I wanted to do something else. But I would carry those things out in the field. Now, were my mom and dad being mean to me? No. My mom and dad loved me. And at first, the only reason I carried those blocks was because I didn't want to get punished for not doing it. But you know what happened after a few weeks? A few weeks later, I went to school, and I was wrestling around with one of my friends. And what happens to your arms and your legs when you carry something heavy? You get stronger. And I was wrestling with this guy. Boom. It's like, wow, I throw that guy down. This is cool. But even more importantly than that, what my mom and my dad were teaching me was that work is a good thing. And because they taught me to enjoy work and to love work, my life has been filled with so much happiness because of that. Instead of trying to run away from it, but to enjoy it. And that's just one illustration, and that's how it is with listening to Jesus and what he tells us to do. Sometimes what he tells us to do is not something we feel like doing. There were lots of times I didn't want to come back here after spring break or whatever. It just didn't feel like, oh, I just don't want to go back and study. And there was one time, a very, very dark time in my life, when after my third term on the field in Ecuador, I did not want to go back. I mean, I cannot describe to you the revulsion and the fear, and this, I just didn't want to go back. And nobody else knew it except for Dorcas. But I think about what I would have missed, because we had more fruit in those last 4 years serving the Lord there in Ecuador than we did in all the 16 preceding it. And I just think what I would have missed if I would have disobeyed the Lord. And friends, I need to close, but just let me say these simple words. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Believe that he loves you and trust in his love. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share things from your word. And Lord, I know some of it is very deep and it's a mystery. And as we read this, but Lord, we just accept by faith this wonderful truth that as your Father loved you, so you have loved us. Lord, we want to continue in your love, so that your joy can be in us and our joy can be full. And Lord, I just pray that with all my heart for each person here today. In Jesus' name, amen.